Azeroth with Attitude.
Welcome everybody to this week's episode of Azeroth with Attitude, with an extra, extra special episode, because today we got daddies in the house. We have the daddy deathmatch.
Yeah,
we're doing today. So we brought all our favorite World of Warcraft men together, and we're gonna decide which one is the daddiest of them all. You know?
Yeah, I think like obviously we are a very scientific podcast. We think logically, statistically. We really like look at the XYZ. How do you get to the Pythagorean theorem? We're doing the maths. Because daddies are something that we take very seriously here at Azeroth of Attitude Productions. We really want to find out who is the daddiest of all daddies in World of Warcraft. But here's the thing. When you think of a daddy, it could mean so many different things. Like a daddy could be someone that's like hot, buff, hung, and ready to, you know, throw you around. Or it could be someone who just is like a stable figure in your life. Someone who gives you that security, that safety. It looks like they could hug you and just like make you feel warm and cozy. So.
It just made me feel things.
And that's what we hope you feel when you're listening to today's episode of Azeroth with Attitude.
Before
we get into the daddy deathmatch, I have to ask, how you been, girl?
Good. Everyone needs to manifest with me. I know this is airing after, I guess, but everyone needs to manifest with me that I am staying healthy for TwitchCon. Because I can feel, I'm hoping that it's my allergies, but I've been sneezing all day. So I just hope it's the allergies. Because girl, we don't want to get sick for TwitchCon because I'm so excited. But I also tend to get really paranoid before big trips that I'm going to get sick. So it might just be that. Like, I genuinely will walk through the world before a trip and be like, whenever someone just breathes at me. Like,
yeah.
So maybe it's just that, you know, maybe I'm imagining it. But I've been good. I've been a bit stressed. I'm trying to prepare some content before we leave because I just took a break and now I'm taking another break and I feel a little bit bad. But I played Resident Evil 4 finally yesterday. I had the best time. It was so, so, so good. I loved it. It's definitely like not scary at all, but it's very fun gameplay wise. That's pretty much it.
I love Resident Evil 4. I think before I played 7, it was my favorite Resident Evil game.
Really?
And now, yeah, it's so good. It just has a lot of nostalgia for me. It is way more action than it is horror. Like so much action. It feels like you're playing an action movie.
I hate Trashly. I hate her.
Not too much.
She can choke.
When you say Trashly, it takes me out because shout out to my girl Drag Trashly on Twitch. So when you say Trashly, it makes me think of her. But yes, Ashley / Trashly in that
girl
can choke.
Can she just like I'm good. I'm good. Like, why are we doing Princess Peach up in here? We're Resident Evil. I want to shoot zombies and I want to get my ass safe. Like, that's all I want to do. I don't want to take care of some like blonde diva with a bob that is just like so useless.
So useless, so annoying. She's constantly asking for help. She has no situational awareness whatsoever.
She's like, Leon, girl, shut up.
She stands like this. There'll be a man coming at her with a massive hook ready to just fillet her. And she's just like,
no, but literally.
Leon.
And she's like, girl, just fucking move. Like, move. Like, run. There's this one part where, like, you let her climb up, she activates something, and then she has to run to the other side. There are zombies, not zombies, but, like, you know, the evil guys, running towards her. And what does she do? She runs into them. Like,
she's not the brightest.
Turn around. I don't know. It's, yeah, anyway. But I'm having a lot of fun. I'm still enjoying it. I feel like I've learned, like, so much Spanish. But yeah.
You said, I'm ready to go to Spain. I'm ready to find a hot...
Oh, caliente.
Muy caliente.
Claro que sí.
I'm going to butcher this. You're like, mi favorito bebe es pene. No.
That means penis.
No. Mi favorito comido es pene.
I speak Italian and I understood exactly what you said. I know exactly what you said.
I am so
anyway,
sorry.
Girl.
Duolingo sponsor us.
How have you been? How's your preparation going?
I'm very stressed. I am very, very stressed out preparing for TwitchCon Rotterdam. I think the thing that's like stressing me out is I am the only person going for my company. So there is like a lot of pressure on my shoulders to make sure that this like goes smooth and goes well. The hardest part is obviously getting influencers to like respond back to you or get back to you in some way. God. So it's been a bit chaotic, but I think we're going to be good. Okay, I need you to judge me, and I need everyone to judge me in the comment section. This is my plan. So I'm going to TwitchCon Rotterdam. I fly out tomorrow, which is Wednesday, at 6 p.m. I land in Amsterdam at 10 a.m. the following day.
That's the worst.
Yes, so it's a red-eye flight. I'm supposed to get 8 hours of sleep on this plane. I don't sleep well on planes, and I know this. So my
plan, do you have something you can?
I could take like a melatonin or something, but I just know I will be so stressed out needing to get 8 hours of sleep that I won't be able to sleep properly. So here's my plan. Today is Tuesday. I'm going to stay up till 6 a.m. till like super early in the morning on Wednesday. I'm going to pop a melatonin. I'm going to fall asleep. I'm going to wake up at 2 p.m. tomorrow, take a shower, head to the airport, and then if I sleep on the plane, I sleep on the plane, but I know I will have had at least some sleep right before I get on this flight. And when I land in Amsterdam, I won't be as tired as if I would have had my full Wednesday. And then when I eventually get into my hotel at 3 p.m., I can take a nap if I want to.
Hold on a minute, though. This is so complicated. You're flying at 6 p.m. at night, your time.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Just go to bed.
Girl, I can't sleep on planes. That's the issue. I'll be so stressed out wanting to sleep because I'm like, oh my God, I have to somehow fit a full night's rest on this plane. I will be thinking about that constantly. I know I won't be able to sleep. And the 10 hours will go by. And if I get like an hour or two of sleep, I'm going to be so miserable when I land in Amsterdam.
You will be miserable because we're meeting Friday. And I'm going to be like, girl, get it together.
I know. And
pop an espresso.
I'm going to have like 3 bags with me because I have other supplies for the company. So I will be stressed out.
They're really making you work overtime.
I know.
I will help you with anything you need, by the way. Like, appreciate I'm going to be at your side anyway, like all the time. I don't know anybody. So like whatever you need, I will help you. Just see me as your intern.
But do you think that is stupid? Like that way I at least will have some sleep.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Because you're literally like, first I was like, oh wait, that's really shitty that you're arriving at 10 a.m. But at the same time, you're leaving at 6 p.m. So you will naturally get tired anyway because you're leaving at 6 p.m. because it's like bedtime in 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours. And then you can sleep. Even if you sleep, I think if you sleep only 4 hours on the plane, it is better than doing the whole fucking with your like inner clock early to then hopefully be okay when you're here. Because naturally, like you should always, but a friend of mine that travels a lot because he's a steward, he told me whenever you arrive at the country, wherever you at, try to stick it out to when it's their normal sleeping time, right? Because it isn't about actually getting sleep. Like I could be getting 7 hours of sleep and then I will still feel tired because my body will think it has to go to sleep. Like I remember coming back from Hawaii and I would wake up at 3 a.m. starving because it was like dinner time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and even though I slept and I still felt so exhausted, even though I slept through the night. So I think that you should not mess with your inner clock because it's already going to be messed with when you're there.
You're right.
Also, like, you're going to be so full of adrenaline and none of that is going to matter.
That's so true.
I think you're overthinking it. I would literally just go on that plane, pop a melatonin on the plane, watch a boring ass movie. Do they give you a business class?
No, girl, I'm in economy. And I mean, 6'2". Like, I'm gonna
Oh, me too, girl. Now I understand your struggle more than anything. I also cannot really sleep on planes, but not because I don't. I like literally feel like, yes, also obviously because it's uncomfortable because I'm tall, but I also feel like every single time I close my eyes on a plane, I feel like I can feel the entire plane. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I like that feeling. I like the feeling of like feeling it move. My issue is,
see, I hate that
supporting my neck because I've got like those neck pillows never work for me. And
yeah, no, me neither. They never work for me. People are always like, how do people just like half-ass lean on something and fall asleep? I can't do that. No, I relate to you when it comes to that so much. I can also not sleep on planes, but I still believe that catching a little bit of sleep on that plane is still better than doing that whole shenanigan that you think you're going to do.
All right. I'll take your advice. And then
think of it like that. Like, let's say you go out and you stay the whole night. And then you sleep the next day, you will still feel like shit the next day, even though you slept 7 hours after the party.
That's
because you stayed up all night.
That's true. Oh my God, y'all. And what I'm so excited about is Art and I are staying in the same hotel. So we're going to like kiki down the amount of like just nerding out. I wish we had like nail polish to do each other's hair.
Oh my God, stop it. I love that. Oh, I am a 30-year-old man and I love a girly pop sleepover.
Yes. You're like, oh my God, let's watch music videos. Like, let's just, like.
Of course.
Yeah. And then another update is since the last time we recorded, I finally got to check out Paralives and I did a stream.
I saw.
Yeah. So I did a stream where I did Paralives versus Inzoi, which is like another like Sims.
I saw. I know Inzoi, yeah.
So,
the Asian one, right?
Yeah, I think it's the Korean. I could be wrong about that. But Paralives has been getting like a really bad rep since it came out because a lot of people feel like it's very bare bones for it being an early access game. In my opinion, it's not bad at all. Like, I think for a base game, early access life simulation game, it actually has a lot going for it. There are like things to do in it. I feel like I can like the character creator and the build mode.
That's so important to me.
Are insane. Like,
love.
I think what really helped was comparing Paralives to Inzoi. Because Inzoi also has like a pretty in-depth character creator, but I was able to make three really distinct looking, they're called paras, with like unique fashions. You can layer clothes. You can, there's like a color wheel, a texture wheel.
I saw that.
It's so sickening.
Yeah.
I was able to make three paras that had like pretty like fun attributes and stuff to them. In the time it took me to make one Inzoi, because I feel like it's just so much more intuitive. And I think that's what Paralives excels in. The game is just intuitive. Like the way that you design a house is intuitive. The way that you make a character is intuitive. There are some aspects of Paralives that absolutely need work. Like there's like certain animations that just don't play. I think like if you come into it with a Sims mindset, you are so used to how The Sims plays that you have to remember that this is a new game doing its own thing. So like certain things like clicking another character and having a conversation with them is very different in Paralives than it is in The Sims. Like,
yeah.
Moods are different for your paras. So like what's interesting is like, I have this one para who is a pretty gloomy, sad person. And so whenever your para does specific things and their mood shifts, you can click on the mood and you you know, like how in The Sims, your Sims have like random wants and needs that they have throughout the day? The wants of your para are determined by their moods, but you get to choose what the want is. So if they're like sad, you click the sad mood, it brings up a menu of like four different wants. And you could be like, I want my para to learn a new skill today. And like, because you're like, the para may be like, I don't want to talk to people right now. I just want to like be by myself. You're like, okay, cool. Then I want you to go by yourself and learn a skill for like an hour. You can do that throughout the day. You can choose not to, but your paras level up. So they have like a leveling up system. And as you level them up, they get new traits. They learn more about themselves. It's very like story driven as opposed to The Sims, where I feel like in The Sims, your Sims come into it like as a fully realized character. The paras come in as like shells, and you are developing who they are as you play as them, which I thought was interesting. Also, there's like There's also like a Stardew Valley element to it, where there is a community center and you can donate to the community center to build it back up, much like in Stardew Valley, where there's like that little community area and you're like growing crops, and then you take the crops and you donate them, and the Junimos like build up the thing. There's something like that in Paralives, which I thought was really cool. So yeah,
I love that.
That's my little take on Paralives. I thought it was great.
I will also try that game. I'm very excited. I can imagine like there's always gonna be people gonna be like, yeah, but the Sims that. I mean, they compare World of Warcraft housing to Sims all the time, which I feel like is so stupid. So I'm not surprised. But the game, what really got my attention was the building system. It has like the same circles in WoW, where you can clip anything you want, you can resize anything you want, you can make the shelves as long as you want, and I'm like, that opens up so much customization and custom builds. Yeah. We've seen that in World of Warcraft. We start to see things as shapes and not as what they are, and then anything is possible. So that is gonna destroy whatever you were able to do in Sims. I mean, I'm sorry, but like,
I will say, it feels very World of Warcraft. Like when you are building, but it's so much more intuitive. Like the way that like the walls clip, you can have a grid, you can choose to turn the grid off, and you just free build wherever. Your paras do a really good job of like adjusting their animations to like work wherever you have placed the furniture, which is really neat. And the biggest thing, oh my God, all of the viewers or listeners out there, if you play The Sims, you know how horrendous the timeline is in a day. So like, say you like cook food. It takes like 2 in-game hours to like cook a meal. It takes like an insane amount of time. To go to a restaurant feels like you're at the restaurant for like 12 hours. This game has done a really good job of a day feeling like you have done a day's worth of stuff.
Yeah.
In a day.
Yeah. I hated that in The Sims when you would go to work and you feel like you just lost everything. And then your character comes back home super tired, super, super sad and like annoyed and doesn't want to do anything else. So you basically just like sit alone when your Sim is at work.
Yeah.
It was so, yeah.
I'm very excited for the advancement of the game and see what they do. And yeah, it was sickening. I really enjoyed it.
Love.
But
I love that.
Speaking of sickening things, we have a daddy death match to get underway. 16 of the burliest, sexiest, daddiest of daddies have entered into the ring. And
I just know there's going to be at least one uggo in there.
Now,
there's no way you found 16 gorgeous men.
I will let you know that Art has zero clue. The 16 men that I have selected, the seeding of the tournament has been randomized. The matchups have been completely randomized. And this is a call to you all.
I'm ready.
Please, 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 in the comments of either the YouTube video or on Spotify, or you can email us in if you want, aswellwithattitude@gmail.com. Let us know who you would have selected to be the winner of the Daddy Death Match. So without further ado, we have our first matchup. Lorthamar versus Anduin.
Ooh, okay, so I remember last time I would go like on this entire like storyline of who do I pick? Yeah. And it was like so dramatic. And now I think I'm just gonna go with my heart and my
your whole.
So
oh.
These are these are two really big characters.
Some would say swinging.
Yeah. No, these are two really, really big characters.
Wait, let's break it down. Let's break it down first. Lorthamar. What are the positives of Lorthamar in your mind? And maybe we give a little description. Lorthamar, for those who don't know, if you're playing Midnight, is the like leader of the Blood Elves, essentially.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
He is, but he doesn't feel like a leader. He, to me, he feels like, not in a bad way, like he feels like truly the leader of the people where he is part of the people. You know, he's not like this like asshole sitting on a throne being like you and you and you. He feels like it's really cooperative and stuff. I feel like Lorthamar has earned the daddy status so much. But specifically the one, I'm not gonna lie, visually not really doing it for me, but like the vibe as a daddy, 100% there. Like that man has been through so much, so much, like the several destructions of the Sunwell, like corrupted kings, the scourge, so much, and he just keeps standing. Like, you know, he keeps fighting. He is absolutely incredible. Also, he was under Sylvanas's command,
which is crazy to right think about,
because of and then he lost her too. Like, he's lost so much. And then also he is dating one of the cuntiest women on Azeroth.
Oh,
so yes. He is a big contender. It is like, low-key shady that we're immediately up against Anduin here, because he would have beaten anyone else.
Okay, and let's talk about Anduin. Anduin is like a character who we have seen grow up in World of Warcraft. So we've seen the man that he has become over the years. This man is someone who is flawed. He is still trying to find himself in a way. He has had this pressure of, you are going to be the king of the Alliance, of Stormwind, of the humans, for his entire life. So now that he has experienced this trauma post-Shadowlands, he has kind of given up the mantle temporarily of being king so he can find himself, very akin to like, oh, It's not a phase, Mom. And he's like in college and he's like going off and experimenting and figuring out himself. Only in Anduin's case, it's been literal years. Like, I think it's been like, what, 5 to 7 years post story.
Okay, but I low-key disagree with what you just said. I mean, I don't think it's like an emo, it's a phase tangent. I think that man is struggling mentally.
He is
going through a crazy mental health crisis.
Yeah.
He was this like boy that grew up in a royal family that's been pushed into, you know, the light and everything, and it was everything he knew, right?
Yeah.
And then he lost everything, and then he was also controlled by literal death magic to then murder his people, someone that is so pure and good. And then part of him apparently enjoyed that too, his dark side, and now he lost his only, like, I feel like it's almost like, this is, I don't want to get too deep into this, but you know when there's like super religious people and then they fall out of their like circle and then they have to like sort of find their footing in the world again? These people tend to actually end up like, if they don't get proper help, if they don't get socialized properly, they can end up being like drug addicts, and like it can go really badly for them. So I kind of see it more like that.
Okay, yeah.
You're like, okay, no, he's like on his like emo chat, and I'm like, no, this is like a deep mental health issue here.
Yeah.
That's at least how I feel like they kind of portray it. And then also him finding the diva from the Arathi. I always forget her name. That helps him Phelan? Find connection to the light.
Or is
Phelan? Phelan? Phelan?
Phelan? Phelan? Phelan, something like that.
Phelan? Yeah. When she like, when they kind of touch each other's hands and then the light finally starts surging again. I don't know. I love this man. I love him.
And he's hot.
He's so hot. I did not care for Twin Ganduin.
I did not either. It didn't do it for me until Daddy.
I want to make out with him until the scruff of his beard makes my lips blood red. I want to look into the sunset while I look into his teary blue eyes, and we just keep making out until, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, sure. I was kidding. So who do you think? Okay, actually, let's do this. We'll count down from three. And at the end of three, we will say who we choose as the daddy. If we have conflicting like choices, we'll then have to come to a consensus. But
oh God, it's going to be exhausting.
I know. Here we go. Are you doing your selection? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Lorthamar.
Okay. Okay. So here's my thing. Okay. I almost picked Anduin. I almost did. But I think his hotness carries him in every aspect of him being a daddy. You know what I mean? Because I still see Anduin as very young, even though he's not. And he, I think if you eliminate the hotness of it all, does not give daddy vibes like Lorthamar does. I don't know, to be honest,
I did kind of think this was just going to be like, who's the hottest man in the competition?
Which we can do. We can do that too.
But this, like, but if we're looking at the daddy perspective, then yeah, Anduin is out immediately. Obviously. He's not. Even though, no, actually, no, I disagree. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Midnight Campaign, the way he stood up for Umbrick.
That's so true.
Huge horse. Like, that was giving huge dick energy. Like, I'm sorry. I wanted, when he did that, the way I fell on my knees for that man.
You know what? None of you.
Because, okay, actually, good point here. Lorthamar was in there too, and he was like, and Anduin was like, no, leave him alone. Took him under his wing and ended up saving Silvermoon. He ate that. And Lorthamar could have stood up there for that, and he didn't.
I agree with you. I think Anduin in that moment was daddy energy. I don't think he saved Silvermoon in that instance, but he saved
Umbrick, which then saved Silvermoon.
True. I'm okay giving this to Anduin. I am okay with it because I think if we're...
I want you to really believe it, though.
I do, because if we're looking at modern day, like modern day World of Warcraft, like where we're at right now in the story, I do think that Anduin post Shadowlands is finally getting into like normalcy. He's like finally not this like, oh, woe is me. My life was so hard.
I know, it was so hard. Oh, I'm like struggling, blah, blah, blah.
And I feel like Lorthamar has, honestly, I wish Lorthamar would be more of a hard ass leader. I feel like he is getting pushed around a lot.
So much. I wish he could just like slap the table and be like, I am the leader of Silvermoon. I will decide what we're going to do. And not like, oh, but the Vanguard, even though they're clearly being evil. I mean, the way he pushes around Tyrallian, love.
I love that.
But like, that was so fierce. But in general, I'm like, I just wish you would make a decision. Why is Anduin doing this for you? You are an ancient elf.
Yeah.
Like, own up. Maybe it's because he's softening up a little bit because Lystra is pregnant. She's pregnant, right?
I think she is pregnant. Yeah, she is pregnant.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't know. Anduin here takes it for me.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with Anduin. All right, Anduin wins round one. The next matchup, Sibellian versus Khadgar. Now, let me explain. Sibellian was selected, for those who don't know who Sibellian is, the Black Dragonflight aspect seat was vacant in Dragonflight. So Rathian and Sibellian fight over who is going to be the Black Dragonflight aspect. Sibellian ends up winning the argument and is the new Black Dragonflight aspect. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Doesn't Ebonhorn win?
You're right.
Ebonhorn.
Ebonhorn does win. I correct. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tauren.
The Tauren wins. But Sibellian is, he gives this like rough, gruff energy that Rathian doesn't. Rathian in Dragonflight kind of gives off like whiny teenager energy. He's queening out. And Sibellian is like butch. Butch down. So that's why Sibellian's here. And then Khadgar, I know so many girlies that are throwing their pussies at Khadgar. It's crazy. The amount of women I know that are incredibly thirsty for this man.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Khadgar is an icon. I'm personally not that crazy about him, but I'm also not crazy about Sibellian at all.
Yeah.
I think that Khadgar is an icon. He seems to be someone that has reason, you know? Mm-hmm. And he should be a lot younger than he is, which I think is like kind of honorable of him that he took that upon him, you know?
Yeah.
I would never do that.
I also want to know what's it like to ride in that chair with him now that he's in his little magical wheelchair. Like, I don't know. Like, let's go for a ride together, Khadgar. Okay, I will say this. Shout out to my girl, right. It's me, Troy. She is horny down for Khadgar. Like, it's actually insane how horny she is for him. And I didn't see it until I really started, like, paying attention to Khadgar. And I was like, okay, wait, I could see where someone finds him very hot. I think when he gets a little bit of, like, stubble, he shows, like, a little bit of that beard through, it looks hot on him. When he's clean shaven, I just don't see it. I don't see it either.
And I don't like the slicked back hair.
Hate it. Hate the slicked back
but
hair.
But considering daddy energy, I mean, definitely there.
Yeah. I have my selection.
Me too.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Khadgar. Yes. Period. Okay, so we have Anduin. We have Khadgar. Sibellian, get your non-daddy ass out of here. Match 3. Romath versus Thrall.
That just shook me a little bit.
Okay.
I have mine already.
Oh, okay. Wait,
I wanted to blurt it out.
Okay, let's talk about these real quick. So Romath, he gives like mysterious blood elf energy, but I feel like in Midnight got painted in a bad light. I think like Romath pre-Midnight was probably a hotter, sexier character than he is now. Because I think now he kind of gives off like, why are you so racist towards void elves energy?
He's just so... like so complainy and so like, yeah, like whiny and like, no, not this and no, not that. But also then what are you doing? What do you bring to the table, bitch? Sorry.
Oh, no. Say what you really feel about Romath.
Like, I don't know, girl. Like with that, like half Ariana Grande from Temu ponytail. Like, can we not? Can we move on? Can we move on? He, like, the whole, like, oh, my God, I'm a magister. Okay, so then what do you do? What do you suggest? Okay? Because everything people throw at him, he's like, no. Opinion about everything, but zero solution focused. He is an absolute flop to me.
No, that's so flop. That's so T. He is not solution oriented at all.
And the way he is like, oh, Umbreak, you're like exploring the void. Girl, you were sucking demon cock for like years in Outland. And all of a sudden it's like, no foreign energies. Okay, please. Like, let's get it together.
And then Thrall has been this like stable.
I mean,
Thrall's been this stable character in World of Warcraft for literal years. He gives, like, I would argue probably the most daddy energy
and 100%.
Like, he is not only a father to the horde, but father to the orcs.
Isn't he a founding father of the Horde?
Yes.
He also freed the orcs from slavery. Like, yeah. He is incredible.
He's also hot. He's
hot. And he is, like, one of the orcs that truly still has a connection to, like, the OG, like, clan, like, culture, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. He is incredible. I think he is the absolute daddy here. Like, there is... Ramath is a worm next to him.
I also want to give Thrall props. He has aged gracefully. Like, he has gotten definitely older. Like, you can tell. They have aged his model quite a bit. He's got grays coming in. He's, like, lived a very long life. But he's still hot. Like, he still gives
yeah,
this,
look
like,
how thick that hot. Thumb is.
Oh, my. You're like, I just wonder what he looks like underneath all that armor. You know? That thumb is crazy. You're like, let's see. He's like, you want him to pass you around like a puppet. That's what you want. You want
no,
him.
No, I don't. I didn't say that. You had the bottom allegations again. Stop with that.
You know what? You're right. You're right. I have to think like Thrall. Thrall wouldn't assume people are bottoms. Thrall wouldn't assume.
Thrall seriously takes it up the ass. Sorry.
All right. Let's make our choice. 3, 2, 1. Thrall. I love that you wait. What if I was like Ramath? You're like,
I would have just stood up and left. Let's wrap it up. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Oh. Match 4. Arthas versus Denathrius. This is a tough one. Both undead are like giving death vibes.
Kind of gaggy because they kind of give similar energy in a way.
They do. Arthas, if you don't know who Arthas is, Arthas is the second Lich King in the World of Warcraft like lore. Arthas, I've been playing a bit of Warcraft 3. He's such a hard character to like. And I think that's his vibe. That's his purpose, is to be this like annoying character that obviously is so easily corruptible.
He's so cocky.
He's so cocky. He's got insane ego. He thinks he's owed the world because he is the king's son. And he just like is the prime candidate for someone to get swayed by like demons and the undead and like the actual like force of death itself. So in that regard, I would say he's not a daddy because like he is
agreed.
He is very whiny and son-like. But once he becomes the Lich King, I could see an argument where he does give off insane daddy vibes in like a very evil, fucked up kind of way where he is like taking control. He is doing what he wants and he only intervenes post Warcraft 3 whenever he's ready. He's like the idea of him just like sitting on a throne, biding his time, looking for the perfect time to strike is just so sinister and
true,
kind of hot.
But at the same time, is he really the one making the calls? Like, he is true. Controlled by a much bigger force, and he was nothing before that. And he honestly kind of gives me like my biggest hot take about him. He's kind of like an insul.
No, he is. He is absolutely
because like he's such a loser. Like he thinks he's all that, you know. And like he has this like crazy privilege, and everyone that dares to like question him, he just like pops off on them. And then obviously these people get corrupted so easily because finally someone makes them feel like they are truly like what they think they're owed. Yeah. And but ultimately, you were given power. You have no power yourself.
Well, I think it's interesting because on the flip side of this, Denathrius is the one corrupting people and he is taking advantage of.
But he also knows how to have fun.
He does know how to have fun. He does. So like Denathrius is like, okay, wait, I see that resources are becoming limited. Let me make sure me and my upper rich class are taken care of. And
horrible, actually.
Actually really fucked up.
That's really fucked up.
And I'm gonna rule my world, my little realm, with an iron fist and give my people literally nothing. And they
but I feel like if we're gonna go there, and we're gonna have to decide based on morals. There's a lot of these characters that we would never pick. So let's keep it light.
Let's keep it light.
And more about, yeah, because otherwise I will feel bad picking either of them because they're both actually horrible.
Listen, villains can be daddies, and Denathrius is also hot.
I'm so sorry, but look at that chest. Look at that tiny bit of nipple peeking out, and then that six pack that is as big as like my hand. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
but that man, and also kind of vampire energy. Hi, hello.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know who Denathrius is, if you never played Shadowlands, he is the leader of the Venthyr, which are like a vampire-like race in Shadowlands. So he is like this big, buff vampire daddy that leads the Venthyr. I think it's called the Venthyr.
We'll drink your blood.
Yeah, we'll drink your anima.
Your life source.
I have my choice.
Easy.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Denathrius.
Daddy D.
Oh, I would love to see it.
He got way too soon. Gone way too soon.
I feel like we are going to see Denathrius again.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We will.
I would love for him to actually be post-trilogy. Okay, this is my headcanon. I would love this. Imagine a world where Denathrius somehow, in some weird shape and way, becomes the new leader of the Scourge. Because it's like death and in Shadowlands, and he's always about like hopping on an opportunity and like taking advantage of a situation. Like, I don't know. I just think it'd be kind of hot to have like a vampire coming down to the mortal realm and just like, I'm going to lead these undead and make them do what I want.
Yeah, down. I'm here for it.
All right. Match number 5. Caligos versus Uther. Now, you have to look on your face.
I don't know who Uther is.
You don't know who? Oh, bitch. You need to play Warcraft 3. So,
who's Uther?
Uther the Lightbringer. He was in Shadowlands as well.
Oh, wait. Is he the mentor of Arthas?
Yes. And he gets like severely backstabbed by Arthas. And
And then we meet him again in the Shadowlands and he helps us. And
yeah, he's like, I believe, the first victim of Frostmourne by Arthas. He kills him. Mm-hmm. But Uther as a character, he's very like justice focused. He's very like, he sees the world as right and wrong. Yeah, he sees the world as right and wrong. But he's also really hot. Like, I don't know if you've seen him in Heroes of the Storm, but he gives like gray daddy like energy. He's like buff as hell. He's got like grays in his beard and his hair, and he talks with like a really deep voice. And
that doesn't faze me at all.
Oh, but on the other hand, we have Art's. we have who Art believes is the hottest character in all of WoW, Caligos.
Wait, I never said that.
I know, I'm joking.
No, I love Caligos. I love Caligos. I know that this blue-haired they-them diva will make me the fiercest latte I have ever had. And then I know he's a freak in the sheets. I can just feel it. I don't know. And then he's also very smart. He will read you poetry. He will conjure beautiful food for you. I don't know. I love him. And then he can literally turn into a dragon and then like fly you around. He is like, hello? I don't know. I find him so hot.
I was going to make an entire bit about how I find it crazy that people find Caligos hot.
But I don't think he's like the hottest on earth. But have you seen that art piece of him that does he in game? Honestly, kind of rigged. Like, what is that hair, mama?
I agree. I feel like he looks better.
I have an art piece in my living room. I'm so close to gonna go and get it so I can show you. He is so hot.
I trust it because I feel like in cutscenes he looks a lot better than he does in game. His in game model. Okay, this is gonna sound crazy.
Oh my God.
Caligos's face looks like in game. When you see a drag queen who only puts foundation on their face, but not their neck and their body. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you are so right. He also kind of looks like one of those queens that like doesn't do a lot with their eye. They don't cover their brows, just make them darker, and then they just put a little bit of like a lash.
Yes. No. Listen. If
oh my god, you ate that.
If people find that hot, that's fine. But to me, that's all I see when I see Kalagos' in-game model is like, again, his skin tone matches across the board, but I think it's just like the way that the light hits him. It literally looks like he has like the wrong skin tone foundation on.
For me, it's the hair. Like, what is that like asymmetrical bob? Like that is just. I don't think that that's what he looks like. I think he just has gorgeous blue long hair. Do you think his hair down there? Do you think absolutely. Do you think that it matches the drapes?
Absolutely.
Love. It's blue. That's so hot.
It's a blue bush.
Blue chest hair. Yes. I'm here for it.
All right. Let's make our decisions. 3, 2, 1.
Kalagos.
Okay, so here's my reason why I chose Kalagos over Uther. While I think Uther looks like a daddy, he is so stupid in Warcraft 3 that he loses all daddy points to me because he knows that Arthas is like doing evil shit. And instead of like taking charge like a daddy should and be like, no, I don't give a fuck if you are the king's son, and he does try, he tries his best, but Arthas just like gets the upper hand and takes over the situation. And there are so many like warning signs that I think Uther could have very easily like justifiably killed or imprisoned Arthas, and he never does.
And he could have like prevented so much pain.
Yes, as opposed to Kalagos, I think he is a really good, he's probably the most, correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, sane of the aspects.
Yes, like, and he's the one that actually, he feels like a new wave. Like a new wave of people, you know, like he wants to actually bring people together again.
Yeah.
He is not riddled by his trauma like everyone else. He seems to be like a go-getter, and I love that.
Yeah, so I think like energy-wise, he does give daddy aspect because the other aspects are always infighting and everything like that. And he's been like the blue aspect for, I think, a really, really, really long time. Hasn't he? Yeah. So Kalagos wins this one.
I think so.
I could be wrong.
I'm not really into the whole dragon lore.
I'm not either. Match 6. Umbrick versus Varian Wrynn. Girl, I know you. Okay. The way you're looking at that Umbrick, you're like, hey,
that's my blueberry man. That's my blueberry man.
and he's queer.
And he's queer. I mean,
okay. So let me.
I want to just blur it out.
Okay. So let me try to defend Varian here a little bit. I think Varian is an interesting character study in someone who is like a king that has to lead the alliance when the Horde is its most evil. Like, the Horde in those early expansions are doing some pretty nefarious evil things. And so Varian is like obviously going into it with the mindset of like, screw the Horde, we need to stop the Horde at all costs, like yada yada yada. But then Legion comes around, and this is where I think he's his most daddy, because he puts aside his hatred for the Horde and fights alongside them to focus on a bigger enemy, which is the Legion, and is willing to sacrifice himself to make sure that his people are safe in that giant war that they fight
at
the beginning of Legion, which I think is like really hot. And that cinematic, he like literally, doesn't he like jump off the ship, like swords, like
he then dies
in that fight, which is, I think, like, you can't get more king energy than that. Like, you literally are like,
sure.
But on the flip side of that, leaves his son fatherless and now having to lead an entire nation
I don't think that jumping into like a army of demons by yourself in their like most powerful place to prove like that you're so like, I don't know. I think that's stupid.
Yeah.
You have people relying on you. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
we get it, bro. You're so strong. But like, of course you were gonna die.
On the flip side of that though, on Umbrick. Umbrick is hot. I think Umbrick has proved his worth in Midnight, that he can be a
comparable. I adore him.
But I will say Umbrick is like someone who is failing forward. So he has made so many critical mistakes that could have cost the lives of all elves numerous times. And
really?
Yeah, girl. The entire introduction of Void Elves and how Void Elves come to be is because he is so egotistical that he, like, they are safe and fine. And then when you play that, I strongly recommend playing the lore walking quest for Void Elves. It basically is like Valyria. Yeah. She's the Void Elf, right? Yeah.
Illyria.
Illyria coming in and saving Umbrick and the rest of the Void Elves from becoming void entities, because they are just experimenting on the void willy-nilly, having no safety precautions, kind of throwing caution to the wind, and then Illyria comes in and saves them all. And then Umbrick's response to that is, we should just experiment more, girl. Like, we should just like double down on this and just like, that was interesting. And Illyria is basically like, okay, that's crazy.
He's like, okay, you stupid twink. Listen to mother. Sit down. Put that down.
Yeah. But he keeps failing forward to the point where his failures have led to our success. Well, success so far.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I mean, I'm so torn now between, like, do we give someone that was the most daddy energy, or do we give someone who we think is just the hottest and the coolest?
All right.
Because daddy energy, I think Varian obviously takes it. But I feel like Umbrick is just so much more interesting. I find Varian so boring.
I have my choice.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Umbrick.
Varian.
Okay, we can give it to Varian. I'm okay with that.
I just don't find... I find Umbrick extremely hot. I don't find him daddy.
You hated Umbrick since the beginning. Don't even play with me. I remember you like reciting how much you hate him.
I will say I like Umbrick now. Post Midnight, I like him as a character. I did not like him before Midnight. Bye, Umbrick. No, I'm just kidding. All right, match 7. Illidan versus Rathian.
Hot take from me.
Say it.
I know everyone and their mother is horny for Illidan.
Okay.
I don't give an F about him.
Girl, fucking same.
Really?
Fucking same.
I find him so like, I am my scars. Okay, emo boy. Like, go tell your mom. Like, no one cares.
I know they're going to hate us in the comments. And to be fair,
I really don't care. I talk about this on stream all the time. Like, to me, he's such like this like edgelord. Put on a shirt. Like, you're not all that. I don't know. Like,
I think that you have to remind. I have to remind everyone that we are two homosexuals who have not fully played Warcraft 3, which I do think is where you get the most lore for Illidan. Is in Warcraft 3. So maybe it's Warcraft 2, I don't know. But I don't have the context of everything Illidan has done. All I have is what we've seen in Legion. And I didn't find him that interesting in Legion.
Me neither. I thought he was just like, I don't know, like a man that just loves to scream and like make everyone like know how much he suffered. I'm like, no one cares, bro. Like, let's move on.
I am curious to see.
I don't know. I just don't find him all that edgy and cool as everyone always says.
I do think that we will see, obviously, we're definitely going to see Illidan again in the future, because didn't he zoom off to go kill Sargeras, like, in space?
Something.
He's in space somewhere doing his thing. He's in Star Wars. Rathian, on the other hand, I think is a very compelling character. In the sense that he is the literal son of Deathwing, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes. And
he has to live with all the trauma that Deathwing caused the world. Mm-hmm. So he has, like, all of this, like, stress on his shoulders to be the best dragon he can be for the Black Dragon Flight. And I could be wrong, he thought he was the only Black Dragon left at one point.
I think so. I'm not so sure. I'm not like super like deep into the details. But what I love about Rathian is he's a nuanced character. Mm-hmm. He sometimes gives off really good vibes. He sometimes gives off a bit sneaky vibes. He is funny. I feel like he has a personality. What does Illidan do? Fight big evil guys. And then once that's over, like, I can't imagine him like chilling on his couch. Like what is his personality, you know? Whereas Rathian oozes personality and is so fun and like to quest with his text and like his entire vibe. And also he can throw a punch. He also gets angry. Like that scene where he at Nazoth, where he turns into a dragon and then he turns back to his human form to stab like Ilgenov. That was so cool. I don't know. I think he's such a fun character, and the whole dynamic between him. To me, he's just so much more interesting than Illidan.
He's also like peak bisexual energy.
Oh, peak.
Yeah.
He oozes sexual energy.
Yeah.
He really does.
I have my choice.
Me too.
And I know they're going to be mad about it. 3, 2, 1. Rathian. Oh, I'm so sorry.
They're always going to be mad. It's fine.
Yeah, they're always going to be mad. The final matchup. Garrosh Hellscream versus Sargeras. Okay, so let me explain why this matters. They're both two evil divas. So I think Garrosh Hellscream gives off like the most butch, masculine, also kind of toxic, very toxic.
Misogynist.
Actually. Misogynist energy. Like he is like someone who you would be scared standing and sitting in a room with.
Oh, but yes.
You know he is going to destroy you in the bedroom.
What the?
Like, I think he gives, like, very sexual, like, aggressive energy. And Sargeras, imagine being in a relationship with someone who is a titan. Like, has seen all that is and has been in the universe. Sure, he's corrupted, and sure, he's got his bad side, but he is, to my knowledge, the daddy of all demons.
Yeah, he is. He is. I think Sargeras is cool. We literally see him plunge his huge sword into the Azarussi, and we all watch. And his sword is so stiff and strong, it still stands until this day.
Yeah, he did not need Viagra or any other, like, medication for that. It's still standing.
I don't know. Garrosh is, I don't think he gives off, I will destroy you. I think he gives off, like, I will destroy you, and like, and like, I hate women. And then you get to the bedroom, and then you take his pants off, and he's like, sorry, it's cold in here. He's giving me that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see.
He's giving me like, but there's not much behind that.
I think Sargeras, if I were to see Sargeras naked, it would cause me to scream for the next 100 years, but in pure ecstasy. I have my choice.
I will happily be branded by Sargeras.
Yes. 3, 2, 1. Obviously. Sargeras. Okay. So now we're going to.
Are we done?
We are done, but we are going to quickly whip through the
adding Sargeras to this was insane.
Yeah. So the next matchup is Anduin versus Khadgar. Like, we have to get down to our final pick. There's not going to be any visuals. It's just.
Yeah.
So Anduin versus Khadgar. We're going to very quickly say who we think is the most daddy between the two of those. I have my choice.
Me too.
Three.
Khadgar. Oh. No, honestly, I'm stretching it with Anduin here. I'm stretching it. It's Khadgar. It's Khadgar.
I just
want to say Anduin because that's my man.
I mean, he's so hot.
It's Khadgar. It's Khadgar.
Next up, Thrall versus Denathrius.
Okay.
All right, I have my choice.
Me too.
Three, two, one.
Thrall.
Yep. Easy. Sorry, Denathrius, you're hot, but Thrall's daddy. Next up, we have Caligos versus Varian.
Caligos.
Oh, I didn't even have to count. I will give it to Caligos because I do think out of all the dragon aspects, he is probably the most daddy. Sorry, Varian. And then lastly, we have Rathian versus Sargeras. That's a crazy matchup. I think I have my choice.
Yeah, me too.
This is tough. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Rathian. Sargeras.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about it. I do think Rathian is probably the most peak sexual energy character that we have on the cast. So I think for that alone, I could give it to Rathian. I just
think it's insane that Sargeras is even an... I think Sargeras is a troll candidate. I'm sorry. We don't even know his personality besides wanting to destroy the world.
You know what? You're right. Let's give it to Rathian. We are down to our final four. Next up, Khadgar.
I can't believe Anduin's out. I'm sad.
Oh, well. You can call him up and make him feel better. You can take him into a room in which there are no others. next up, Khadgar versus Thrall. I think I have my choice.
Me too.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Thrall.
Yeah. Sorry, Khadgar.
Easy, honestly.
Easy. The next matchup, Caligos versus Rathian. Two dragon aspects.
Two aspects. Okay. I think I have my decision.
I think I have mine as well. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Rathian.
Rathian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Rathian's just too hot and sexy. I think Caligos has like...
Caligos, just go make me a coffee or something.
Yeah. Our final two, Thrall versus Rathian. This is whoever wins this will be deemed Azeroth with Attitude's daddiest of all daddies in the daddy death match. I have my selection.
Me too.
3, 2, 1. Thrall!
I am so happy with this, honestly. Like, the only other contender here for me personally would have been Anduin.
But
putting Anduin next to a Thrall is like putting a boy next to a man. So... it is Thrall.
Yeah, no, Thrall absolutely. Is so daddy, so hot. My only
but sexually,
downside,
it's Anduin.
Sexually, it's Anduin for sure. But I do think the only downside to Thrall is that he's giving like retired old man energy right now. Like he just kind
a
of
little,
like
yeah.
He just doesn't really want to show up anymore or do anything.
Can I just say something that's so shady of you that I just realized?
What?
The way you just didn't give up. Fuck about Greymane.
you wanna know something really funny? Here, wait.
Greymane would have been like that would have been like maybe the sixth character I thought I would think about because he's huge in the lore and he's literally this buff silver fox daddy.
You wanna know something?
That turns into a wolf. So many people's wet dream. And you didn't even put him in there, Sargeras in there and Sibalion.
You want to see? I actually had Gen Greymane picture ready. If you look on the stream, I had a picture of Gen Greymane ready because I had a feeling that someone would throw some shade.
Are the girls going to see this?
Yes, they're going to. I'm showing it right now.
I'm going to be very honest. I don't give a F about him. Like, I think he's so annoying. He's like this conservative old white dude that just needs to shut up. But looking at that picture, I'm like...
No, Gen Grey means hot. We can say it.
No, he's so hot. I just want to, like, sleep on his chest.
Also, horrible father. horrible father.
Like, but that, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
He's going to be my actual daddy.
This is so funny because I literally, when I was making the matchup for this, I was like, okay, do I or do I not want to add Gen Grey main? Because I was like, I will be mean. And then I saw this photo, and it was the first photo I saved out of all the daddies in the daddy death match. And I was like, I'm going to keep this in my back pocket in case Art says something about Gen Grey main.
Well, you knew me too well. No, I'm like, I really don't like this character, but he is hot. Like, you just...
He is hot.
You cannot like people and still think that they are hot. Unless they're like... Yeah, no, you can still find people hot that are... Like, this is... Like I said, this is not about morals and political views. This is just about, like, you see the person as almost like a shell. And do you think that shell is attractive? What's underneath that right now, in that case, doesn't matter. So here, yes, he's hot, but he's such a red flag to me.
Also, to think that he is the current king of the Alliance Girl, is disgusting.
That is too real right now with what's going on in the world.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in to the Daddy Deathmatch episode of Azeroth of Attitude. Hopefully, TwitchCon Rotterdam has been going great for the both of us. We are filming this in the past.
What if we die and it's the last episode?
Oh my god, don't say that. That's so sad. I will tell my husband to upload the episode if it is.
Fierce.
But I will say I do want to know what everyone's pick for the Daddy Death Match is. So please leave a comment. Please let us know who you think deserved to win the Daddy Death Match. All the comments, all the likes, everything helps push us in the algorithm.
Come on, we gotta get to these 1,000 subscribers. We can do it.
Tell your friends.
I know for a fact some of you are still not subscribed because I know myself. I will watch a YouTuber and just realize, oh my god, I've not been subscribed for a year.
Yep.
Subscribe. we are so close.
Make sure to follow us on all our socials. We are posting two short form videos a week, so look forward to that. And let us know if you have a viewer question. Again, we will get to them. This is because of the two-week stagger of these episodes. We will get to them in a future episode. So please let us know at azerothwithattitude@gmail.com. Let us know your race class combo, your character name, your name, where you're from, and what your question is. Or you can leave it in the YouTube comment section. Thank you so much, everyone. We will see you
Thank you so much for watching. Yes. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.